Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
There he is, folks. Bruce Wolf.
Nobody
Bruce,
ding, ding,
Bruce,
like
Bruce Wolf. No, nobody does. Thanks for coming in. And I thought we were going to be in a snow globe on the way to work today.
Thank you. So I came in even, you know how I love to come into work early. So I came in even earlier today.
No, I told you last night that you should get up early. What time? I got up at 2:30, looked out the window, but I couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah, that's when I got up, and it was totally dry. And now if you tell me to do this again tonight, you're going to be the girl who cried Bruce Wolf, and I'm not going to believe you.
Hey-oh.
Hey.
On this show, we always have clarifications and apologies. And yesterday at the end of the show, I messed up. I said that Quinn McCarthy was our technical producer because he's training on the board, when, of course, our technical producer is Justin Kosick. You know him.
It bothered me all night. That's why I had a sleepless night, and it was
exactly.
It was why I was awake at 2:30 anyway.
But he does, you know, instant classics such as
Get Down with AOC.
Like Toto Lee.
Get Down with AOC.
Like You Know Me.
Get Down with AOC.
Can you repeat?
Get Down with AOC.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do you like that one, or what about this one? This is for John Kerry. It's called Ketchup Man.
Well, he's a ketchup man. Ketchup man.
Pouring all over everything. One I helped him write is the caravan, because caravans are always coming to our border and trying to get into this
sure.
country.
And I think it's going to be a long, long walk until I get to the United States. I'm not the man my passport says I am.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm in the caravan.
That's a good one, isn't
He's
it?
He's got tremendous range.
Yeah, he does.
Not too many people could do Elton John or who else?
And do it repeatedly, and he did one for Howard Schultz.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear this one?
Sure.
You know, why not?
It's a KTEL Records. Get
you can get your four pack today, plus free shipping.
Well, he's a coffee man.
Howard Schultz.
Coffee man.
Oh.
Smelling all of your
So this is a variation on a Rocket Man theme. All the permutations that you can have. Maybe you want to do like Hoax Man or something.
Oh.
You know?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Sure. That goes well.
The Hoax Man. Jesse Smollett Man. Jesse Smollett, breaking news last night that maybe some
Aren't you
of you
tired
went,
of this story already?
You know what?
I think that I am.
No, I think that I am. And then something else happens in this case. And what happened last night is, guess who recused herself from the case?
The woman who will not prosecute anybody in Chicago.
And her name is
Kim Fox.
Woo! Kim Fox. Now, different people are saying reasons why she's recused herself from the Jussie Smollett investigation. But one of my sources told me that she's a distant relative of Jussie Smollett's.
On the hoaxing side?
I mean, do they do DNA, like Ancestry.com and figure this out?
She's as close to Jussie Smollett as Elizabeth Warren is to,
what?
The Okefenokee tribe, or the Hakawis. I can't remember.
So are you buying that? Anybody? 312-642.
Well, how about we get a reason?
Wait, 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. No, that is what she said.
Why did Jeff Sessions recuse himself from, Kim Fox? Why doesn't she say it? If she's going to recuse herself, we should have the reason. Everybody in the country is talking about this case. This has got to be a secret.
Well, she said, out of an abundance of caution, mm-hmm. I love that, abundance of caution, the decision to recuse herself was made to address potential questions of impartiality based upon familiarity with potential witnesses in the case.
Right. So 6 degrees of separation between Kim Fox and the Nigerians who are actually Americans.
Assistant State's Attorney Joseph Magots will act as the state attorney for this matter.
I think really we need a change in venue to Uranus, because that's the only place that he'll have a fair trial, and I'd like to say Uranus on the radio.
Yeah, what number planet is Uranus?
Because
Pluto's
doesn't
out.
Doesn't count anymore.
That's so sad.
So let's
all that time
I remember
mocking the solar system with those plastic balls from Michael's Arts and Craft Store.
You made a model of the solar system.
That's what I'm saying,
to the plastic balls.
Exactly.
So, I forgot the order of the planets. Don't ask me that again. I'm just trying to memorize all the mayoral candidates now.
So, all right. So yesterday, the two brothers, what are their names? Abel and Ola. Thank you. They were at Cook County.
Nobody knows that.
Well, they were at Cook County because I'm trying to track them down. They're my neighbors, darn it.
Do you realize that in 3 weeks, nobody's going to remember Jussie Smollett's name?
That's not true.
Do you remember the name of the Covington kid who filed a lawsuit yesterday? Do you remember his name?
Nick San. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's how difficult it is.
What's his name? Nick
Sandman. And what's the name of the
Sandman?
Yes, Sandman. It's
like
funny.
Mr. Sandman.
Yes.
Keep
and,
me.
And what's the name of the American Indian who was playing his drum?
Tonto.
Jay Silverheels is right. So I'm telling you, these news cycles come and
okay.
go. You're not going to remember.
Nope. We'll always Jussie remember Smollett's this because he needs to pay for his crime. So there's a lot of new. Where do you want me to start?
Wherever.
Okay.
Got 4 hours.
Okay. Well, one witness said that they spotted the three in the elevator building. My guy told me that is not true. There
that's already
no
been
surveillance
discounted.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's been discounted.
Okay.
Another saw the trio at the intersection where the staged attack took place.
Sure.
She said there was no yelling or fighting and that the three of them were just standing there talking out in the cold. And that's why she thought it was strange, because it was very cold outside.
The only thing that's been confirmed is that they had a Lyft ride together with Resurrection Mary. That's all.
Two brothers were captured on camera before the assault. Listen to this. They took a ride share to the spot where they were supposed to meet. And in the car surveillance, there was a video camera in the car that they didn't know about.
Oh, my God.
Police said that they looked very nervous. And they actually got cold feet after Smollett was late in showing up to the location.
They got cold feet because it was 4 below 0 and they were wearing
Hey-o!
Sandals that they brought in from Nigeria.
They were at 26 in Cal to meet prosecutors, but they have not appeared before the grand jury. I've been told that that's going to happen today. But a grand jury has been convened to over the false police report.
What does this have to do with Manny Machado?
A separate investigation, a federal investigation is going on about the letter that he apparently sent to himself that had a death threat on it and a white substance that turned out to be Tylenol.
Can you write up a report and submit it by the end of the week, and then we'll put it in the files?
Plus, well, now I'm thinking we have to pay back Chicago firefighters and hazmat crews because they responded to the Empire Studio. That's where Nikki Haley came in, and she said that they should be
Nikki Haley
gone because but not forgotten.
We need an unemployed former ambassador to the United Nations weighing in on this. I mean, where does Nikki Haley have the standing to?
Just
I mean, I love Nikki Haley.
Read the tweet. But, I loved her tweet.
Well, she does have 370,000 followers. He must repay resources used to investigate and serve time. She said she played all of them for fools, the media. And, you know, hey, I just gave you about 79 characters worth of Nikki Haley. I'm not giving you a thread. It's Nikki freaking Haley.
So here's the thing. Is there a link between the letter and the attack? That's what Robin Roberts asked him.
Do you think there's a link between the letter and the attack?
There was no address, but the return address said in big red, you know, like caps, MAGA. Did I make that up too?
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
wait, this isn't a subsequent Robin Roberts. This is the original one that made her look like a fool.
The note which featured the message, you will die blank blank. Mm-hmm. And it's a cutout magazine letters and a crude drawing of a stick figure hanging from a tree. So that's what he tried to reenact with the noose around his neck in real life.
The only new thing was what I proffered yesterday, was the possibility, albeit remote, that these two guys actually did attack him, and they're the ones who are lying about all this. It's a long shot. It's an even longer shot than the White Sox having gotten Manny Machado.
Which we will get to Manny Machado later. The reason why he chose Robin Roberts is because she appeared on season 4 of Empire and asked him questions. This is from Empire. Ready?
Go ahead.
This is it. All this right. is the acting scene.
How do you explain all this violence?
Well, first of all, that was self-defense.
Wait a minute. She played herself?
She played herself, and he played...
Why do reporters always play themselves? I mean, I remember Robin Robinson being in The Fugitive or something like that, to be distinguished from Robin Roberts. Have you been in any movies?
I was in the sequel to Fugitive. I was in U.S. Marshals.
So but you don't get in the original
Fugitive.
But I know,
you think about Netflix and House of Cards, and you have Jim
Holt
Acosta sitting there talking to as if he's, you know... a real person covering a real story when this is fictitious and make-believe. I don't like that.
This
You're right.
is where you are in the hierarchy, in the pantheon of Chicago journalists. You didn't even get in the original Fugitive.
Wow.
You got in, you know.
The backup.
This
I'm
time,
still getting checks,
we
so
get the
two-armed
man. Don't they ever let anybody stretch and not just play a newscaster? If they asked me to be in a movie, I would refuse to play the Renaissance man that I play on the radio. I play an attorney or something. That's
quickly, his show, his appearance, he was supposed to shoot all 5 days this week. Now he's scheduled just to come in Thursday and Friday.
He's done.
I doubt that's going to happen. Here's TMZ.
Right. They're on the second to last episode of the fifth season right now. They are currently filming. And originally we found out that Jussie was supposed to appear in 9 scenes in this episode, but that's been cut down to 4 scenes.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. So he was also supposed to appear in a big musical number. He's supposed to have his own musical number. Of course, you know, they perform original songs on the show. Jussie plays a singer as part of this, you know, legendary family. And so he is now no longer going to be having that scene. And on top of it, we're told that his shooting days have been reduced. He was supposed to be shooting every day this week. But now when you found out that he'll probably be shooting Friday, maybe Thursday, but that's on hold.
The only Fox shows I watch are The Simpsons and Family Guy.
And I'm sure.
And football.
But here, Jussie Smollett's family saying, oh, we wanted this hit this way because, you know, he's been so upset over the attack that they wanted a reduced schedule, which I'm calling BS.
Allegedly, the reason is that they don't want him spending as much time working on set because of it sort of being a traumatic time for him, is what we're hearing. But again, we haven't been able to confirm.
What? I mean, it's so ridiculous. And Cardi B and other people are coming forward saying, you know, if you did what you did was wrong. It's Black History Month. How dare you?
No.
But they're also
Cardi
blaming
B had
Chicago
a very
police.
Fun, no, Cardi B had a very funny line. She said he had... freaked up Black History Month. That's funny. That's really funny.
I'm really disappointed in Jussie Smollett, whatever the fuck his name is. I'm really disappointed in him. I feel like Black History Month, bro.
Yeah, that's funny. Now what is her real name is Cardigan B, right?
I'm not gonna say yet. It's what he said out his mouth. That it was fake and staged. I don't want to completely blame him because, you know,
here's the thing. But everybody thinks Chicago police are racist. Everybody thinks Chicago police are racist because of the Laquan McDonald case. And that's why they're holding back judgment, because Chicago police are racist. I mean, despite the inconsistencies, I can't blindly believe Chicago PD. The department that covered up shooting Laquan McDonald over a dozen times.
Well, I can understand our national reputation. Remember, everybody still thinks Al Capone runs this town. So, notwithstanding what Michael Jordan did for us, lo those many six championships, Cardi B.
What about
I've never heard any of her songs, but she made it. No,
we can dance. Hello, you try to sing this.
It would be cultural appropriation if I imitated her. Okay, enough. So Cardigan B, didn't she have a gaffe on the Emmys? On the Grammys that was hysterical. She read some kind of congratulatory poem or something that was written. Come on, you guys are all hip.
I watch the Grammys and I have no idea what you're talking
about. Nobody has any idea of the mistake that Cardi B made.
No.
I'm the senior citizen here.
We can't help you.
We can Google that.
Real quick, just so you know, Jussie Smollett, this is not the first time he's lied to police.
Yes.
In 2007, he was pulled over for driving under the influence, and guess what? He had a suspended license that he was driving on, and he gave police fake information about where he lived and things. And so then he was sentenced to either 2 years probation, jail time, or a fine.
Now, what's interesting to me is when this information is coming out, why did this information about him lying just come out? How many days ago was that this attack?
Three weeks ago, almost.
Okay, why didn't this come out way before now?
Because everybody's protecting Jesse.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Yeah. Who's the sexiest person at work, huh? Let's all take our shirts off. Yeah. Come on, Bruce. Are you in? Are you ready to go?
I haven't taken my shirt off since I was an infant.
Well, apparently Chicago alderman, guess who? Bad boy Proko Joe Moreno allegedly told staff members to take off their shirts for a contest. What? Who's more fit than me, he said. Take it off, baby.
What ward is he the alderman of?
That's a great question.
Because I only know, like, you know, I come from Bernie Nystein's 29th ward.
Well, so he is up for re-election, as in all of the aldermen are. Mm-hmm. And he, apparently a former employee who handled social media accounts for Moreno from 2014 to 2015, has come forward and said that after the gay pride parade, they had a gathering at El Jardin. Yes, El Jardin. You know, the
No pun intended.
Yeah, El Jardin, the Mexican restaurant in Lakeview. And he said, are you ready?
Yes.
Hey, guys, we're going to have a contest. Everyone's going to take off the shirts. Girls, you can keep your bras on. And if your body is better than mine, then you get a raise.
Now, my defense for the alderman is, you know, you're watching this parade. You might
get
a little stimulated.
Who's got the four-pack?
And so then you just start talking a little crazy there under the influence of a margarita or two.
She said this woman's name is, it would be helpful if I, Belia Portillo.
Oh.
Or Portillo, because she's Mexican. She said that
Portillo.
He's just kind of pointing around the table and saying, you're okay, your body's fine. He said, I'm okay. You know, I didn't ask for that, so that was difficult to respond to. I think anyone who was there would agree it was a very uncomfortable situation.
Sometimes my wife gets the chopped salad tossed at Portillo's.
Stop
and
it.
I get, and that's not a metaphor, by the way.
Another
and
person
I get
who
that
was
cheesy beef thing. I mean, it's really cheesy. Great. Oh,
another person who was there that day backed up this young lady's account, but that person asked to remain anonymous to avoid political blowback from Moreno. See, Proko Joe Moreno is a little bit of a bully. He bullied the owner of Double Door because he was trying to raise his rent, and if he didn't, then he was going to change the zoning on his building. Eventually, Double Door left.
As long as I'm around, and I bet the next Oliver ever, nothing's going to happen in this building. Okay?
Okay.
So you're at, and by the way, when the leases are up there, since they're down zoning, you can't sign new leases for your tenants. So whenever those leases are up and those guys want to leave, and you want to sign a new lease with a new tenant, you're not going to be able to. I'm being up front with you. I'm being honest with you. It's going to be an empty building with no income for you or your family.
End of conversation.
Do you know how many times he says that? End of conversation.
I'm late to the party on this. He wasn't using his governmental authority to threaten in an Ed Burkean fashion.
And Kim Fox is such a pea hat wearer, she wouldn't prosecute him.
Why isn't he in jail?
He should be in jail for that, but he should also be in jail for something else. Filing a false police report. Let me introduce you to
Lilia. Bleach on him?
Nobody. That's a very good point. I want to introduce you to Lilia. I just showed you her picture. Gorgeous woman, Ukrainian.
Is this his girlfriend?
A 35-year-old single mother. She has a 14-year-old son. And
wait a minute, let me
do
the math here. Okay. 35.
No, she's age appropriate. Trust
21.
For him.
She had the baby at 21.
Yeah. No, she's age appropriate. But on January 3rd of this year, he lent her his 2006 Audi A6. Mm-hmm. Single mom. I've got the text messages between the two because she sent them to me. I talked to her on the phone. Lovely lady. When and where do you want to pick it up? I could come now to where you're at. Meet me at my house at 11, and you can have my car. Can you get me an Uber, please, like 10:30? And thank you so much. And then some sexy emoji.
Baby, you can drive my car, he said.
Just tell me when you're ready. Okay, thanks, lips. I'm home whenever you want Uber. Right. So then he said, after she went and picked up the car, he texted her again, don't smoke in my car. Yeah. And she said, baby, I'm, and then something redacted. Cool. Hey, can we have dinner tomorrow?
Right.
Yes, please. Oh, good, baby.
I love when you play both the man and the woman.
Oh, yeah. So
when you cross over like that.
He knew. But then the next day, Bruce, January 4th, the very next day, he called police and said his car had been stolen and that he had parked it at the 1300 block of North Levitt. Uh-huh. So he filed this police report.
Just north of Division.
Yeah, filed this police report. 3 weeks passed, and she's driving home from a concert, she told me. And lights, six squad cars close in on her.
Good to know that the Chicago police can send half a dozen squad cars.
Yeah. Well, it was a stolen car, and it was an alderman's car that was stolen, so they took this seriously.
Who cares about an alderman's car?
Oh, they do, apparently.
Why?
Because, it's grand larceny.
And it wasn't stolen. He lent her the car.
They didn't know that, so they took her into custody. She spent the night in jail, Bruce. She was handcuffed. She was crying. She's like, he gave it to me. I have the text messages to prove he gave me his car.
Yeah. Maybe this was some kind of bondage game that he wanted to play with her.
She was upset. I mean, she was still.
Did he just forget? Did he say he forgot that he lent her the car?
No, this is his. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I mean, this is this is classic Proko Joe.
I can't stop the rumors. There are all kinds of rumors, especially these days, but I can tell you the truth, and I think that's what you want from me. Again, it was miscommunication, a person that I dated and is a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a misunderstanding that she had it for longer than she wanted to, and I was having a hard time getting a hold of her, so that's the only reason that I needed to.
Okay, he said he was having a hard time getting a
hold of her. Well, wait a minute. He lent her the car for overnight, not for 3 weeks.
No, she said he gave it to him. And he didn't have a hard time getting a hold of her because she was texting him some very
Were there subsequent texts from them?
Yes, this is 2 weeks later. He did not ask for the car back. He sent her a selfie. How's your day, baby? I hope you're well.
Okay.
And he said, you look fantastic, responding to the picture that I showed you. I just need to get through this election, and then I want you. Oh, baby, I'm glad. You're good. How are you?
This is hotter than Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
I'm good. Working and spending more time with something, redacted. Not going out because of the weather. Wink, wink, if you know what I mean.
This would actually really be good if I cared about Proko Joel Harum. Is that what he is? Proko Harum?
The alderman of the first ward, Logan Square.
Oh, Fred Rohde's ward. Okay.
So
he's an improvement on Fred Rohde.
Yeah. And so, again, he's reiterating, I wanted the car back. She just didn't pick up my phone calls.
There was calls that I wanted to have the car back. So I got the car back. She's fine. She's a single mom that I'm trying to help out. And, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Okay. There's zero there. And I'm being 100% honest. There's just nothing there.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment, because she texted him again, Bruce, and he responded when she said, what is going on? Police have stopped me. They're taking me to jail because you reported your car stolen. Is that not your car that I'm driving? They said, I need my car back ASAP. It's my car. Tell them to call me ASAP and I'll explain this. So she spent the night in jail, got a little roughed up. She was scared. She was crying. She said she had started having a panic attack and started because they took her. Into custody.
And what about all the phone calls? Do we have his phone records?
Yes, they do.
See?
But police, you know what they told me?
So he called her a number of times, and he wanted the car back.
That didn't happen.
While
Bruce.
He's texting to her on the sly.
Bruce. It's called sexting, not texting.
He's having this dual relationship with the same woman. There's the phone relationship in which he's talking to her about needing the car back, and then he's sexting to her because, you know, he's having this role-playing game with her. Okay, sounds fine.
He should be arrested for filing a false police report. One officer from the Northwest Side.
I don't know that it was a
told
false
me
police report.
That he drinks so much that he could have just forgotten that he gave her the car and that he walked up like, dude, where's my car? And he said that happens so much that people overindulge the night before and then they go to the Chicago street and they look for their car like, I can't find my car. And sometimes they parked it on a different street, but a lot they call police and report their car stolen.
If you were a fungible member of the city council, an impotent guy really
he's
had no
He's a big bully.
Power.
He's a slime ball. And then you hear that he wants to have a take-off-your-shirt contest to see if anybody has a better body than me. And if you do, I'm going to give you a raise.
How good is his body?
Oh, yeah.
Does he have a good body?
I don't know. Don't ask me that.
Oh, okay. From a woman's standpoint. I mean,
here's the thing.
I've never even seen
the
guy.
The one person that's running against him, Daniel LaSpada, he has a goofy little Facebook post from 2013 at his bachelor party where he's dressed up as a banana and his bachelor friends are dressed up in monkey masks and they're chasing him throughout Millennial Park.
Is he a black guy, Lispana?
No, but then they grab four African-American kids to get in a picture with him and they posted that
on Facebook. The, contributing to the delinquency of a minor of minors, and they're committing a hate crime by having his friends dress up as monkeys. So he's even worse than Proko Joe Moreno.
No, I think people will be brain dead if they vote for him in less than a week.
What's the
Tuesday.
First word? That's downtown, right?
Logan Square.
Oh, Logan Square.
And that's a hot happening area. It is.
Would I want to live there?
No, I want you to stay where
you are. I moved out of Chicago in 1958.
Yeah, and you stay there, okay? All right. Let's go to Marty, who joins us in Naperville.
Hey, guys, good morning. Amy, in this, you used a word in this story earlier that probably was inappropriate. You used the word blowback. Not a good choice of words.
You're right about that, Marty. Oh. I'm glad you caught that. I let that pass, but I'm glad that the listeners picked up on that.
Yeah, I caught it, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey .pro answer line. Of course, we're talking about Proko Joe and the latest allegation that a few years ago, after the gay pride parade, so I'm sure alcohol was probably involved, they went to Al Hardin Restaurant and decided to have a strip contest. Girls could keep on their bras. Well, that was nice of them.
Let the record show that Amy pointed to her chest.
The breasts. I'm glad that the boss let the girls keep on their bras in a public restaurant and wanted them to take off their shirts, guys and girls, to see who had a better body than him. And if somebody had a better, tighter abs than him, they got a raise.
So is he a defined human being?
Well, I know he works out. I mean, he looks like he works out. I don't know. I've never touched the guy, okay? Gropo Joe. That's what Dan calls him.
Very good.
Let's go to David, who joins us from the 19th Ward. Hi, David. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Amy. Hi, Bruce.
Hi,
I'm
David.
I'm running for 19th Ward Alderman in this cesspool called the 19th Ward, and this is something that I address here, and this is great you're talking about it. If somebody files a police report and they do not sign an affidavit, they should go to jail, and it should be required from everyone. And this story is a combination of aldermanic prerogative or power, plus abusing the by not signing a affidavit. So that should be required by everyone that files a complaint, so there is not frivolous lawsuits and complaints against the police.
Okay, but we still don't really know what the truth is. And I understand you make a pretty good argument there. I mean, what is the truth here? Because we have some texts on the one hand, we have some phone calls on the other, and
but the truth is that police, they know that it was a false police report. I've been talking to them, and they're, because they told me it's low priority. That's what they said. This is a low priority case. We have other crimes to solve.
The Laquan McDonald case was a low priority case.
No, we have other crimes to solve, and we'll might circle around back to it.
We've got to go back to Jussie Smollett.
Now, I talked to Proko Joe, and he told me, he goes, Amy, when this, you'll be the first person I call when I'm available to talk. But my people, my attorneys reached out to the police and said, we're here if you have any questions. And nothing's happened because police haven't called them back, and they still haven't called them back.
David, your point is well taken. Thank you.
And David, good luck. Who are you running against?
Thank you,
guys. Who's the incumbent there?
Well, the incumbent is Matt O'Shea. He's overseeing the O'Hare Airport expansion, and there's a lot of things with TIF, SSA dollars that's been very much misappropriated. So, only a couple million.
I'm sorry. Where can our listeners find out more information about you?
Yes, my website is David Dewar. That's DEWAR. For alderman.com. So David Dewar for alderman.com. And I address a lot of issues that the mayoral and the alderman candidates are not addressing. So it's a very intriguing website. I pretty much say what people are thinking in regards to pension reform, police reform, and many, many other issues. So check it out.
Thank you so much. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, hey, yo. Ding, 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 ding.
Ah, hey, Amy Jacobson, Bruce Wolf here in for Dan Proft.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. I thought it was going to be a very snowy morning, but now the snow is starting to fall. Not, it didn't happen in the overnight hours as we predicted. So I got up at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
and looked out the window and went, oh, I can go back to sleep for a half hour.
I've overprepared. I've been here for several hours, way more than I needed to be.
And you're hot under the collar about this Covington lawsuit. Let's set the table. Remember Nick Sandman, a junior at Covington Catholic High School. He became a target of outrage after that video of him.
The guy in the MAGA hat.
Yeah, standing face to face with a Native American man, and his name is Nathan Phillips. Thank you.
Oh, God.
So while he was wearing that Make America Great Again hat, and it surfaced in January, and he was with a group of students that they were there for the March for Life. But while they were having the March for Life gathering, they're also having the Indigenous People March on the same day. So the two groups collided. And then there's a third group that was there, the Black
Israelites.
Israelites.
Yo, oh, the Israelites.
And they're very angry, and they didn't like the hats, to say the least.
You got all these dirty crackers behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and you want to fight your brother.
So we had the MAGA hat story of January. Jussie Smollett is the MAGA hat story of February. What will we have in March?
So, listen, so they were nasty, these Black Israelites, whatever you call them. Who are they, anyway? I mean,
don't you remember the song? Oh, oh, the Israelites. Wake up in the morning. Yeah, it's a song from the 70s.
You sound like the Black
Israelites.
Stone Jamaican. Sure. They got nasty. These guys were nasty. They didn't just make fun of their hats. Right. They took it a few steps further.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
I recall the story.
Yeah, so you get the picture. So the media took it out of context, to say the very least, and just showed Nick and the guy, Phillips, face to face, and he looked like he was mocking him. He looked white of privilege. When he is white. He's not of privilege.
Now Nicholas Sandman has hired the Jerky Boys
as
his attorneys, and they're suing everybody. We're suing the Washington Post. We're suing CNN. We're suing UPI. It doesn't even exist anymore. I'm not even sure, but we sue everybody for libel.
No, yesterday they sued the Washington Post for $250 million in damages on behalf of Nicholas Sandman.
That's just the Washington Post.
Right.
They've got other potential defendants as well. I mean, we're talking probably about a trillion dollar verdict. Yes.
No. Do you think, you're an attorney.
I would throw out the case.
Why? You don't even think it'll make it through summary judgment?
I don't know where.
And also,
listen to you with the legal terms, or will it get past the motion to dismiss summary judgment?
Dr. Evil?
Will there be a directed verdict? Listen to Amy, who herself once was a litigant. And one of the questions was, were you a public figure? And that's one of the questions that will have to be determined. Is Nicholas Sandman, this 17-year-old Covington,
absolutely not. Absolutely not a public figure.
Cite legal authority.
He's not a movie star. He's not a politician. He's a junior in high school who was with his classmates to march for life.
Is there not, counselor.
Wait, 312-642-5600 is our turnkey debt pro answer line. 646-36, type in DA, then a quick comment. The question is, do you think that this is going to make it through summary judgment? Do you think that this is a frivolous lawsuit?
Let me ask you a question.
Or do you think this is going to teach the mainstream media a lesson? I love this lawsuit.
Counselor Jacobson?
They should have asked for $500 million. I'm not done yet.
Well, they'll settle for the $250. You can't handle the truth. The question is, Counselor Jacobson, why is it important to determine whether he is a public figure or not? Why are we talking about this?
Well,
why are we talking about this issue?
Because they didn't, but they didn't recant when they could have. They didn't tell the whole story.
Right, I'm asking.
They ignored the truth.
Your answer was non-responsive, and I'm going to ask that it be stricken from the record. Again, my question is: why does it matter? Why does it matter whether he's a public figure or not? The audience wants to know.
Why don't you tell us,
okay,
Bruce?
Well, okay, yeah, I know you know Bruce, and I know it too. The reason is because there is a higher standard against a public figure. You have to show that the publication, whoever published this, knew it was false or recklessly disregarded the truth, as opposed to if it's a public figure, as opposed to if it's a private figure, you might show mere negligence or carelessness. And that you know, could be where the rubber meets the road in this suit. So is Nicholas Sandman, because we want to protect the First Amendment. It is the First Amendment.
I understand
right?
that.
And
but
so the question
is
he a public figure?
That the Post published 7 false and defamatory articles about the incident between January 19th and the 21st and claimed the paper knew and intended that its false and defamatory accusations would be republished by others.
Yes.
And that is exactly what happened.
That's boilerplate. No. We don't know that.
People on the left called some of these students, the colleges that they were accepted to, and asked them to rescind.
Well, that's
their
the
college
damage. That goes to the damages.
Right. It's
that doesn't go to
sick.
What, yeah, that,
how that was
the
taken
damages.
Out of context so, and how they tried to destroy all of those high school students' lives.
So the question is, counselor, the question is when the Washington Post and these other publications were reporting on this, were they merely careless or did they show what we call scienter?
Knowing, scienter?
Knowing falsity.
I think I had that in my back. I got some scienter.
With age, it happens.
Yes.
Knowing falsity or reckless disregard of the truth. And I would
Bingo,
submit.
Bingo, reckless disregard of the truth.
I would submit that if you look at the video, different interpretations could have been made. Ultimately, they made an incorrect interpretation, but they remedied it. In this Twitter world where news changes every 5 seconds, they issued corrections, and the initial reports were wrong, but they didn't do it recklessly. That's where the issue
is. Oh, I disagree. I mean, they all concluded that the students were the instigators, and they were not. Because Mr. Phillip, the Indian guy, what's his name? Nathan Phillips. He came in to try to settle things down between the black Israelites and the Covington kids, who didn't lose their cool.
Have you
this
seen...
is very calming, by the way. It's very calming.
Were they, you know, at some point, if you listen to this video long enough, they start singing Rolling in the Deep, which is a very, isn't like an Indian love song. We could have had it all from the land of sky blue waters. Yeah.
Waters.
So anyway, that's the issue.
312-642. I'm trying over here. The fade. It doesn't really work over here. John joins us from Palatine. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, Amy and Bruce. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's a side issue, and it's gone very much unreported, and I think that's an even larger issue. But where was the outrage on the left when the black Israelites were clearly, you have it on tape, shouting racial slurs, denouncing Trump supporters, chastising those the boys from Kentucky, and also chanting basically homophobic connotations.
And so you don't hear the left...
Slamming the black Israelites, and I think that's completely just there's a lot of hypocrisy in
well,
that.
Right, John.
Good
but
point,
hypocrisy
John.
Is the tribute that vice pays to virtue, as I always say. And the problem, of course, is you have to realize the hierarchy of victims. They're black, so they are entitled to dump on white privileged kids from Covington. That is our ethos right now. So let's get with the
program. We got a great text message. Yeah. This is awesome. The only problem, Amy and Bruce, that I have with this kid's suit is that he's not asking for enough. $5 million. And, hey, where do I sign up for a class action lawsuit against Smollett for damaging the character of myself and every other white Trump supporter?
The jerky boys, I'll give you their number, 591-ROCK, 591-ROLL. Yes, we're going to sue everybody, a class action against the world, the universe. Sure.
I love the jerky boys. Let's go to Mike, who joins us from the north side. Good morning, Mike.
Hello,
Good morning. Everybody in the press violated the kid's anonymity. They falsely accused him of committing a racial hate crime.
Question, Mike. Mike.
No, let him finish.
I want to get. This is the appellate court right now. I don't wait for their
dissertation. Talk show that I would like to hear their arrest.
I'm sorry. I thought this was an appellate court.
Very pithy.
Mike,
go on, Mike.
The question I have of you is, you said their anonymity. They relinquished that when they appeared in public in Washington right in front of the obelisk or Lincoln Mall or whatever. They're not anonymous anymore.
Can I finish?
Yeah,
can I finish there?
Well, you didn't answer my question.
Mr. Ramblemouth? No, they didn't. They didn't relinquish anything. They were waiting for a bus trip home. The Tribune, the Sun-Times, none of these newspapers ever list a 17-year-old shooter in a gang drive-by. They preserve his anonymity. What about these kids? Because they're white and they're Trump supporters and they're Catholic.
And if they...
No, that is so true, because if it's a 17 or younger, we never know the person's name,
If
ever.
The Tribune did that, would they be violating some libel law?
Yeah, and that's why they're getting sued.
No, they wouldn't be violating a libel law if they did that. So that is totally inapposite, Mike. Learn to make some legal arguments, sir. Learn to make some legal arguments.
Can I finish?
You're changing
the subject. Can I finish?
Sure.
Okay. They did violate libel laws. They accused them of committing a hate crime, which they were victims of.
Sure did. Yep. They
were maybe you should go back and take a refresher course, Laws on Us or something.
All right, Mike. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. I'll give you 28 days to brief that. Go ahead.
Okay, let's go to Dennis in Milwaukee. Maybe we'll have a little bit of a nicer conversation.
Hi. This is fun.
Well, good morning. That's very interesting. I see this as with the press, the freedom of the press, First Amendment issue, actually also competing against the freedom to assemble peacefully and to express themselves, First Amendment rights of the students. And what's clearly happened here is the press took the situation to inflate the leftist view of this, and clearly are bullying the kids. And I think that's the chilling effect of MAGA hat.
Let me ask you this, Dennis.
If they weren't wearing MAGA hats, this would be a story.
Is bullying actionable under the libel laws? I mean, do you agree with Justice Thomas in a dissenting opinion the other day in a libel case that I think the Supreme Court dismissed or denied a writ of cert?
Libel cases for celebrities.
Justice Thomas more than hinted, that he would like to reverse the seminal libel case, Times versus Sullivan, which set the standard that I've been talking about before, and return the rights to the states to determine what the libel laws should be. In other words, he'd have the First Amendment subject to state law. I ask you this, would you like the Bill of Rights returned to the states? And that would include the Second Amendment as well, under the thinking that Justice Thomas gave us yesterday. Would you like the state of New York, for example, to confiscate your guns? Because that's what basically Justice Thomas, in his infinite stupidity yesterday, did. And I like Justice Thomas, but he was off the rails on that one. Do you agree with me, Dennis?
No, I think I agree with you, attorney. You know, what you have here is the what you have, of course, is a need to recognize that the Bill of Rights and the rule of the success of federalism. Sure. I totally agree with you on that. I think Thomas is off the rails on that.
Thank you.
Right.
I was surprised that I got a concurrence from Dennis.
I know, but President Trump has been tweeting about that all the time. We need to change the libel laws in America.
He is a genuine numbskull.
Carol, who joins us from Burlington. Good morning, Carol. Yeah. You've got a fascinating story.
Yes, well, I don't know. As a conservative and a Catholic, I wanted to share that story about Nick and the lawsuit. And Breitbart posted it on Facebook. It was the Fox News story. And when I tried to share it, I got a community relations violations notice from Facebook.
How do you feel about your First Amendment rights? Your First Amendment rights, of course, Facebook is a private entity, but the spirit of the First Amendment, which vouchsafes robust and spirited debate, was violated by Facebook. So we don't like our First Amendment rights chilled, and I'm sure you would agree that you don't want the Washington Post, however negligent they might have been, to have their First Amendment rights abrogated by this lawsuit.
Is this Words with Wolf? Are you just trying to get in as many complicated.
Because I want my own refrigerator magnet too.
Thanks, Carol. And oh, so, all right, good luck with that. That's amazing. Let's go to.
So I think people should be aware that maybe Facebook's involved.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
Part
cut you off there.
Part of the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, right. Vince in St. Charles.
Good morning, Amy Bruce. Yes, I hope they win, and they probably won't, but I hope they get every penny. They should sue the kids. I felt really bad for those kids and the attack on those kids by the media. It's disgusting, and I hope they sue.
So
I
you would
they win. I mean, they're going
to
sue.
May I respond to it? Do I have time? I just wondered if Vince would like to eliminate the First Amendment because some kids.
I understand that, Bruce. I understand. I usually agree with you, but I understand that.
But in this case, you make the exception.
These are just exaggerated. This issue. I mean, these poor kids were innocent, and
they went after their colleges where they've been accepted and asked them to rescind. I mean,
that goes to the damages, not to the liability.
They spent time being evil, and people who have extra time to be evil. There's a special place in hell for them, and also too. This would never even be a story if they just weren't wearing MAGA hats. But because of the fact that they had MAGA hats,
it's a hate crime.
That's why it went viral.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
California is going to pull the plug on its billion-dollar bullet train.
On AM 560.
The latest estimate for completion was set for 2033, and yet that would still have been completed before the burn interchange.
The Answer.
And speaking of that, President Trump wants his $2.5 billion back from California, and he's not giving them an additional $1 billion they want to complete the high-speed rail from San Francisco to Los Angeles. So
much
Sorry.
For the first step in the green revolution of the ACO.
Governor Pritzker yesterday signed into law the $15 minimum wage.
Woo-hoo!
This did not happen overnight, nor did it happen without the powerful voices of those who fight for workers' rights. It took years of advocacy by so many people across the state and a willingness by business to sit at the bargaining table to hash out a deal so that the people of Illinois wouldn't have to wait any longer. There are a lot of thanks and praise that should be offered. I want to particularly thank...
Then he went on
my mother
on.
Thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you. And I didn't make that joke because George M. Cohen is Jewish, and so was...
Well, you're Jewish, Pritzker. So you do whatever
I'm
you want.
Jewish.
Pritzker's Jewish? Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
Do you know?
I know.
M.K.?
Because I look like him.
No, you
if
do
I
not.
Had,
oh,
if
my
I
gosh.
Had about you... 30 more pounds, 15 30? Pounds in each, 50, no, 15 pounds more in each jowl, I would look just like him.
Well, like it or not, he's our problem for the next 4 years.
Make
and we'll talk
eight.
About the minimum wage later on with Stephen Moore and how that's going to affect business owners. Because I spoke to one business owner who said, I can't do that. It's the equivalent of paying somebody $30,000 a year, just one employee.
So move.
And some employees
Take
that have been there.
Take your business elsewhere.
Well, that's what he's looking at doing.
All right.
But somebody who returned guest to our program, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com, he wrote a great article about the 20 facts Pritzker doesn't want ordinary Illinoisans to know. And we welcome him back to the program. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys.
So where do we start with the 20 facts? What's the most stinging one of all?
Well, I think the first part we have to understand about the 20 facts piece is that it was motivated by Pritzker's, one of his administration's guys, Dan Hines, who basically put out a piece, a pre-budget piece that said, you know, everything that's wrong with Illinois basically is Bruce Rauner's fault. And, you know, we're not going to defend Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner, I think, failed a lot of people in Illinois in many ways, and so we're not going to defend his record. Things certainly got worse between him and Madigan when they had their impasse. But the real story was that Illinois was a big mess way before Rauner even showed up in the scene. And, you know, we looked at the numbers going back 20 years and just looked at fact by fact at how bad things were before Rauner came along. And the reason we wanted to point that out is that, you know, some people are so angry at Rauner that if Pritzker can make it all about Rauner, then they'll swallow his Pritzker's solutions to fixing things.
Well, when was the last time we truly had a balanced budget?
Oh, it's been since 2001. That's the last time we were in the red. Since then, it's been bad budget after bad budget after bad budget.
You know, I was just reading a statistic yesterday. Somebody pointed out that in Cook County, I think it is, there are almost as many people on pension, government employees on pension, as we have government employees in Cook County. I mean, and what, I think we've gone way past the tipping point of numbers of people on pension. And the only remedy for younger people to get out of the mess will be to get out of the state. But this, you know, they'll fiddle while Illinois burns over the next 4 years, right?
Well, Bruce, you're spot on. It's if you look at cities, not just Cook County, you look at many cities across the state, especially public safety, you'll find that they have more retirees than workers. And so that means there's more people taking money out of the pension plans and putting into it, which can only tell you one thing. It's going to run out of money. And it's the same situation whether you're in Rockford or Effingham. It's everywhere. And so to your point, people can get away from this debt burden and these higher and higher property taxes that are the resultant of these pension debts by just moving over the border. You know, that's how you can get rid of a lot of debt really quickly. Just move. And that's the scary part that can put Illinois, or maybe Illinois is in a debt spiral right now.
Yeah, it's a rescue.
But if everybody moves, then they're going to have to tax the people that are staying here even more.
Well, that'll be the wealthy, right?
Well, if you're wealthy, you've made smart decisions in your life. And if you're really uber wealthy, you would definitely move out of Illinois.
Which is what Brad Thor did. Remember?
Well, at least live somewhere else 6 months in one day.
That's precisely the issue is that, you know, and this is why Pritzker's speech today will be all about progressive tax, because that's his solution to everything. And, you know, he seems to forget that his peers can easily move their operations. It's a digital world. It's a mobile world. So they don't have to stick around and pay the taxes if they're going to get hosed to pay for everything.
But, of course, and we all know, because we know the playbook, is that you raise the taxes on the rich as a gateway to raising the taxes where the real money is. The disappearing middle class, if there is any money left there,
because you
can never pay based on what, you know, even if you confiscated everything from the rich, it's just not that many rich people to go around. But people don't really like to do the arithmetic. And ultimately, don't you think what's going to happen is that Illinois is biding its time until somebody is elected president who will bail the state of Illinois out? I mean, that's the end game, isn't it?
Well, we can't file for bankruptcy.
Right, but that's the end game, to bail Illinois out.
Well, yeah, we're certainly headed in the path where we can't pay our bills. You know, we've been looking at the numbers, and some of the facts that we put in there is just how much debt we have and how much it's grown. You know, it's just grown in a tremendous fashion. And when you think about it, Illinois is simply, it has way too much debt. It's swallowing everything. And that's why, if you look at the things that Dan Hines said about pensions and how to fix, and I put that around quotes, the problem is, you know, they want to borrow more money for the debt problem. They want to extend the debt even further. And they want to start taking public assets and putting it into pensions. It's all desperate because there's too much debt. And to Bruce's point, at some point the money's going to run out and people are going to be looking for a solution. And it's going to look something like bankruptcy. It's going to look something like a bunch of people putting their hands out and saying, bail us out. But it's not going to be pretty unless we change the way we do things.
Well, how could we change the way we do things and help out with these overpromised pensions?
Well, you know, the first thing, the big thing that Pritzker would do today and surprise the heck out of everybody is change his mind and say that, yes, he does want an amendment to the Constitution that changes pensions going forward. That would be the big thing, because if you don't change pensions, you don't get control of this debt. And if he were smart, that's what he'd do. But we already know he's already said he won't touch pensions. Yeah. He's going to just tax like crazy to pay it, you know, to pay everybody's pensions, ignoring the fact that there's not enough money.
Oh, gosh. All right. Ted Dabrowski, thank you so much. The article is at wirepoints.com. The column, 20 Facts Pritzker Doesn't Want Ordinary Illinoisans to Know. Thanks so much, Ted, for joining
us. Thank you.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, you feeling the burn? Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling it. A little tingly feeling in the hand area.
That's Bernie's prostate acting up.
Oh, is that?
Well, I mean, the guy, what is he, 77
He's
years 77 old?
He's 77 years old, yeah, making the announcement yesterday that he plans to try again and he's going to run for president in 2020. Now, he had a pre-taped interview with CBS morning host John Dickerson, who, honestly,
I actually know who John Dickerson is.
You do? They all look alike. Him and Scott Pelley and...
Well, that's the CBS look.
I mean, the old white man, but I'm going to take my glasses off and press them against my cheeks so I look smarter.
They were all fathered by Morley Safer and Nancy Dickerson, the former NBC correspondent. They're all their progeny.
Oh, okay, yes. So they're related. Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Why he's really running, Bruce, in case you didn't know.
I'll tell you why I'm running. It's because this country needs yet another Democratic socialist. Kamala Harris says she's not one. I am one.
Let's turn that next gen on. Let's try it again. Ready? But I like your interpretation.
I don't think he's going to say anything different from the pre-taped interview with the progeny of Morley Safer and Emily Dickinson than you're going to get from me right now.
We have a president who is a racist, who is a sexist, who is a xenophobe.
Xenophobe.
And my kids yell out, Mom, what's a xenophobe?
Yes.
Isn't that what they were shouting, xenophobic
he's a
comments
misogynist?
To Jussie Smollett?
He's a protagonist. He's a lot of things.
But he wants to, you know, free everything.
I honeymooned in the Soviet Union, and I supported the Sandinistas. I'm a commie. I should be hanged.
Free health care, free college.
I have three houses. I'm a hypocrite.
He does have a nice house on the water. He has a $700,000 house.
My wife ran a college into the ground. We have no business acumen, but we want to run the business of the United States of America.
All of those ideas and many more are now part of the political mainstream.
So you're saying the party came your way?
Well, I don't want to say that. I think most people would say that.
President Trump not too threatened.
You got a lot of people running, but only one person's going to win. I hope you know who that person is.
No, it's this guy. This guy's going to win.
This is the Larry David Full Employment Act. He now gets to do some cameo appearances, maybe more, maybe be in a cold open on Saturday Night Live. And that's why I'm doing this, to help out my good friend, a member of the tribe, Larry David. I like to, even Bruce Wolf, I like to help him. Because we all are members of the tribe, even the commies like me. You hear Kamala Harris say that she's not a Democratic Socialist? Are you kidding me? She's for ACO's green program. She wants to spend all kinds of money up the wazoo. She's a socialist, not a Democratic Socialist. We're all socialists.
They're already asking, Bernie, who is going to be your running mate? Listen closely. Guess the person.
We would look for somebody who is maybe not of the same gender that I am, and maybe somebody who might be a couple of years younger than me, and somebody who can take the progressive banner.
Do you like how he said not the same gender? Because he doesn't want to be sexist and say a woman, because there's so many other genders out there now.
So
there's a whole variety of
genders. First person that comes to mind, you know who it is.
Get down with AOC.
Like Toto Lee.
Get down with AOC.
Like you know me.
Get down with AOC.
Can you repeat?
Get down with AOC.
Blah, 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 blah.
What does that bring the age of the ticket down? And, of course, she would be ineligible because don't you have to be eligible to be the president of the United States? She's not 35 years old yet.
No, right? She's 28.
And she's not a citizen of the United States.
She's a citizen. So. Stop it.
She's a citizen of Brooklyn.
Coming up
Brooklyn! I'm from Brooklyn, but I went up north where I could actually represent the gun owners and change my position on everything.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson. Bruce Wolf, who's on the ding, 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 is here in for Dan Proft today and tomorrow, and then you're in charge on Friday. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a coup.
It's going to be
the likes of which Andrew McCabe could never have dreamed of.
Yeah, Andrew McCabe he's promoting his new book. And last night on with Anderson Cooper, did you hear what he said?
No.
He said that it's possible that President Trump could be a Russian asset.
I think it's possible. I think that's why we started our investigation. And I'm really anxious to see where Director Mueller concludes that.
I mean, do you watch these interviews too? It's almost insufferable to watch him plow through these interviews because he went on the Today Show, on Good Morning America, CNN, just to sell his book. But he's a proven liar. He lied four times. Yeah.
If he's a Russian asset, can we sell him off to pay off our pension debt?
I don't know. Let's begin there with Stephen Moore, our good friend. Stephen Moore, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Well, we've got about 4 inches of snow here in Washington, so the city is paralyzed. The government is shut down.
Oh,
I don't know if
right.
that makes you happy or not.
Another shutdown. Yay.
Well, you guys are wusses compared to Illinoisans because we can handle 4 inches of snow. But you know that because you went to New Trier High School. You're from Illinois.
Yeah, no, around here, when it snows like this, it's like total pandemonium. And this is like a typical, you know, winter day in Chicago. But, yep, the government is shut down today, folks.
Well, we're shut down in Illinois, of course. We've taken a step backwards by electing Governor Pritzker. And yesterday he signed into law a $15 minimum wage by, I believe, 2025.
Yep.
You know, we've rehearsed the arguments about the minimum wage ad nauseum, but give it
well,
to us again.
Well, but now it's here.
How deleterious will this be to Illinois' already faltering economy?
Well, you should look at, in fact, I just wrote my column this week on what I saw called the four states of the apocalypse. And they you want to guess what those four states are?
Yeah, no.
Sure.
Illinois, yeah. New Jersey.
Illinois, yes.
New Jersey, New York.
Yes.
California.
Well, no. Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Those are the four,
very good.
Those are the four states that are in dire, dire states. Status. And what they all have in common is the high minimum wages, high, required unionization, and high minimum wages and high taxes. And, you know, you should look in Chicago at what happened in New York last week when Amazon, which was going to bring 25,000 new jobs, plus we estimate another 10,000, you know, related jobs. So 35,000 jobs were going to come to Queens, New York, and the politicians, because of their, you know, craziness, that, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, of course Amazon's going to have to pay a high minimum wage, and they're going to have green energy, and they're going to have to, everybody's going to have to be unionized, and you're going to have to do this and that. And then Amazon just said, hey, guys, you know what? We're going to go to somewhere that actually wants business.
I love it.
Business. And now they're probably going to end up in Tennessee. Now, the reason I say that is Illinois is very much in the same circumstance. And by the way, did you see what AOC, Alexandria Cortez, said? We don't want your stinking 25,000 jobs. You're just corporate greed and blah, blah, blah. And
Stephen,
course,
you're culturally appropriating by doing an imitation of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, she's such an economic guru. She makes me feel smart when it comes to numbers. But she actually thought that $3 billion was actually
revenue.
There.
Yeah, she thought it was
you know,
revenue.
That they now will hire more teachers. And like, she doesn't get it.
She actually thinks she's not a very smart person. She actually thinks that there's $3 billion that the
right.
that the state is sitting around that's going to give to Amazon. That's not what was happening. They were going to give them an abatement on the $3 billion of the $20 billion of taxes they were going to pay over the next 20 years. And she says, oh, we've got this golden pot of money. There's no pot of money there. It's absurd. And that's the situation that is in these four states. Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York have all raised their taxes on the rich through the roof. They're losing people. They're losing their wealthy. They're losing businesses. And, you know, $15, you asked me what impact will a $15 an hour minimum wage have. It's going to hurt. Look, if the economy keeps booming like it is under Trump, it'll negate the negative effect because there's so many jobs right now. The problem is the people who will be hurt the most by raising your minimum wage to $15 an hour are the people who have the least skilled. The people at the very bottom. I mean, the irony is that liberals love to talk about, you know, shrinking the gap between the rich and the poor. The people who will be the most victimized are the people at the very bottom, because guess instead of having a job at maybe $9 an hour, they're going to have no job at $15 an hour.
Yeah, but we'll make it up in volume.
Look, well, I said this before, Amy, on your show. I remember I said this last year. My first job was working in Northbrook, Illinois, in a little factory. And my wage was $2.10 an hour. Now I'm older than you think, but $2.10. And I look back at that. And that was my first job. That was one of the most important jobs I ever had.
Yeah, you have to get? You're like me. You and I had work permits when we were 15 to make that minimum.
Exactly.
Mine was at Diamond Dave's in Randhurst. But the low minimum wage was a motivator to get a better job.
Right. Exactly, and it also you learn a lot of skills on your first job. Look, the point is. the vast majority of minimum wage jobs are starter jobs, are, you know, your first or second, you know, job. And you use it. You learn a lot of job skills on your first job.
Sure,
I bet everybody listening to the show remembers, oh, I remember the first job I ever had. And I want to go back and, you know, give my employer a big hug. I mean, he taught me job skills. He taught me how to work a cash register, how to show up on work on time, how to be nice to my boss.
How to dress.
That kind of thing.
But,
yeah.
Stephen,
those
even
are useful life skills.
Even back then, it was unfair because you, as a white kid from Northbrook, were the beneficiary of the minimum wage, of a minimum wage, which actually their wages could have been lower back then, and you could have employed kids in the inner city. True.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is true.
Bruce, what was your first job?
One of the best days of my life was when I came in after about 3 months on the job, and my boss said, "We're raising you from 210 to 225.
All right, and you've gone from that to being.
I got an extra dollar a day.
Yeah, let me. Oh, that, well, that was big back then. Let me throw a softball at you right now. Is the Trump economy, which you have said is successful, of course, you have a vested interest in it, is this just a sugary surge, Stephen? Are we going to be able to see a long-term structural supply-side change as a result of the Trump economy, or is it too soon to judge even now?
Well, look, I mean, so far, for a couple of things. Number one, so far, so good, right? I mean, so far, the results are phenomenal. I saw the president 3 weeks ago over at the White House, and I was just laughing with him, and I just said, you know, these policies are working better than when you and I and Larry Kudlow, you know, started to draw up some of these plans. So, you know, the economy is doing. We have 7.2 million new jobs, more jobs today than people to fill them. That's more jobs than the entire population of Indiana. So that's how many surplus jobs we have today. Now, your question is this just sugar pie? The irony, of course, is the same people who said, because I debated these people back in 2016, and said, oh, Trump's policies are going to completely collapse the economy. We're going to have a second Great Depression. This is going to be the worst economic plan ever. Now we got this booming economy and say, this is a sugar high. It's never going to last. Who knows how long it's going to last. But the reason it's not a sugar high, though, is because the tax cuts don't go away. It's not like that, you know, starting in June, the tax cuts go away. The tax cuts last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I'd like to make them permanent, but at least for the next 5 years, no, there's no sugar high here. People are going to continue to get the tax cut. Businesses are going to continue to have one of the lowest tax rates in the world now from having the highest tax rates. All of that is very productive for the U.S. economy.
Well, I like getting more money back in my paycheck, do you want to finish? What did you want to say?
Oh, I just want to say one other thing. There is one really, you know, important thing that's happening on the economy right now that everybody that could disrupt this expansion, and that is the China trade negotiations. You know, Trump has to get this trade deal done with China. I think the deadline is
March
1st.
So yeah, but he said yesterday he might extend the deadline, that it's not set in stone.
They might extend it, yeah. So we'll see. But if Trump can get that trade deal done, guys, I think you're going to see you think the economy's strong now and the stock market's good now. If you think that they're going to get this trade deal done, I think they will. I mean, buy stock now because the Dow is going to surge through 30,000 if they get the trade deal.
Stephen,
one point of contention that I have, though, is Illinoians, if you have not filed your tax returns yet, you are in for a big surprise. You can't write off any employee business expenses that you used to for my whole life. You can't do that. And then we have a cap on $10,000 for state income tax and property taxes. And that's not good.
Of course
my neighbor
good.
Was bawling. She was crying because they pay $24,000 a year in taxes.
Then lower your taxes in the state of Illinois.
We don't have control over that.
Oh, no, no, you're just a voter. Sorry, Stephen, we're arguing. Go ahead.
We're like an old married couple.
I'm one of the people who insisted during the tax negotiations that we cap the state and local tax deductions. I'll tell you why. It simply I live in Virginia. You live in Illinois. You say you're paying $24,000 in state and local taxes.
I'm not.
Way,
my neighbor is.
No, but I'm just saying, let's say somebody is paying $24,000 in state and local taxes.
Yeah.
That's absurd. It's ridiculous. Why don't the people in Illinois rise up in protest and vote for people who will cut the taxes? You know, in Virginia, my tax burden is about half of what it is in Illinois. And yet you keep electing these dingbats like Pritzker who say, oh, we're going to raise taxes even higher. I mean, you have to
suffer the consequences of the politicians that you elect.
Stephen.
Well, the Democrats are finally waking up to this.
So that you have all these services in Illinois.
No, amen to that. Amen to that, Stephen. But getting back to China just for a quick second, don't you find it ironic that we don't like that China is a command economy, but we're actually asking them to be even more of one by instructing them to purchase U.S. products, or China will instruct itself to purchase more U.S. products instead of having the free flow of commerce. Don't you find that ironic?
I mean, it's a good question. What I want China to do is just lower their tariffs and trade barriers so that Americans can sell more goods over there. I mean, Trump does have a point. I mean, it's not a level playing field. Their tariffs are three times higher than our tariffs are, and Trump is basically saying, look, if you're going to keep pounding us with these high tariffs, we're going to punish you with tariffs. The goal is to get, what we call, what I proposed to Larry Kudlow and the president, why don't we just call for zero for zero? We'll go to zero on tariffs if they go to zero for tariffs. I don't think that they're going to go for that, but I do. I think at the end of the day, what we're going to see is China reducing their trade barriers against the United States. That means we're going to sell them more corn, more soybeans, more blue jeans, more bourbon, more, more manufacturing goods. And that's good for American workers. By the way, it'll be good for China, too. I mean, free trade is good. Tariffs are bad. So we got to get Beijing to lower their tariffs. By the way, they're also stealing $300 billion a year from us in our intellectual property. $300 billion?
Stephen, we got good news for you. We got good news for you, Stephen. We've raised your rate here on the show to $2.35 an hour. Okay? So that's what you're getting.
Congratulations.
Yeah, right.
All right, Stephen Moore, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Always a pleasure having you on the show, although I'm mad at you about your idea to cap my state property taxes at $10,000.
I know. You know what I said? I said about this is let's stick it to Amy Jacobson.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. No vacation for us this summer. Appreciate it.
All right. Next time I'll buy you lunch.
Okay. Thank you, dear. Stephen Moore, Wall Street Journal columnist, chief economist for CNN, and a current Donald Trump advisor. He joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
A lot of hearts broken across the U.S. yesterday. Baseball fans going, oh no, because Manny Machado, the star slugger, fresh off his World Series appearance for the Los Angeles Dodgers, has signed with the White Sox. He signed with the San Diego Padres, and a lot of people were hoping that he was going to go to the Yankees, including this little snot-nosed kid who had a little temper tantrum when he learned the news.
Manny Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres.
Oh, I don't want to go to the Yankees!
Why not?
Can you shove that kid back in his mother's womb? I mean, my goodness, if that was Mike.
And a Yankee fan throwing a tantrum. They only have, 26 or 29 World Series titles, whatever it is. I lost count in 1964.
I'm not going to be playing that audio again.
He's getting $300 million over 10 years. $300 million. The White Sox were actually the next closest bidder. Nice also ran there. Their total package would have been more than $300 million, but there were incentives in it. He wanted the money guaranteed. Also, they didn't have an out clause. He has an out clause in his contract 5 years into it, and a lot of people are questioning whether the White Sox, considering that they didn't offer that, were really bona fide serious contenders. Oh. It doesn't actually look like it, and it looks like we were bamboozled, White Sox fans, over the last several years. Once again, Reinsdorf shows that the White Sox, if they win a world championship once every three or four generations, that's good enough for Chicago. And Chicago being the most inferior city in the nation and the White Sox being the second team in the second city, the fans will take that.
Well, Kenny Williams, I mean, he seemed genuinely disappointed. He said it was a kick in the gut
yesterday.
Too
bad. Kenny Williams just works for the Reinsdorf family, and there was never any – that does not look like a serious offer to Manny Machado. And
it's more than $300 million.
No, but it was less than what the Padres did. And I just mentioned that they didn't have that out clause in the contract, which they could have given him because after 5 years, you know, he's going to be 31 years old at that point. Okay. The odds are that he's going to stick with the same contract. So I don't understand what the problem was, why they were playing footsie, why they were playing games, why they weren't a serious contender. And this is my audition tape for weekends from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. on The Score. How did that go? Did it work out
well? You know
what?
You did a great job.
Just cut out Amy's voice in this?
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll send that to you, MP3.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're talking about it, I'll be talking about it. Dennis Prager here. Join me this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Buddy Guy. I have no idea. What's the song, Bruce?
I think it's called Are You Ready for Fioretti?
Look What All You Got and vote for Bob Fioretti.
Oh, okay.
Bob Fioretti, huge fundraiser for him last night at Buddy Guy's. And recently, Buddy Guy donated $500,000 to his campaign, really giving it a boost. And that's why you've been seeing Bob Fioretti everywhere, his commercials on this station, too, and on cable and national network television.
Are we ready for Fioretti on our air?
Here
I am.
Good morning! And with that, we welcome him back to the program.
Get ready for Fioretti.
Get ready, and he is here. So last night, tell us about the fundraiser.
We had over 300 people there last night. It was a great fundraiser at Buddy Guy's Legend. Bobby Rush, and no, not the congressman, the other blues legend who won a Grammy last year, was the featured individual. And then they had a great appearance by Buddy Guy, and Buddy and Bobby did a song for me, and I was very honored to be there last night. And I am humbled by both of their support and what they've done, and especially Buddy offering his place up last night and his contribution to my campaign.
Yeah. So why did he donate to your campaign? What's, you know, did he just call you out of the blue and say, "Hey, you're my guy"?
I don't think Buddy has ever given to a person running for office ever before. And here's somebody who's played in the White House, played across the world, as a matter of fact. And that's why I am honored. I've known him for a while, quite a while, and before I was even in office. And we've talked on a number of occasions about the direction of the city. And I think he sees the division of most of these candidates, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but as I said last night, I see a lot of these candidates, black and brown versus white, black versus white, brown versus black, and they talk this way, and they talk this way in these forums. And I'm trying to come together, and especially the police versus us. We hear that out of nine out of the candidates are the police versus us, talk about it that way. And it's time to unite and bring people together, because we are not going to move forward unless we are all together in step. And I think Buddy, really, from some of the conversations and what he said, he recognizes my integrity, experience, and believes I'm the only candidate for the people instead of the special interests.
Well, you didn't have somebody cheat for you on the insurance exam, which was the subject of the debate the other day.
I didn't even get to the insurance exam.
Now, I thought that was fascinating. I mean, I don't know how relevant it is to, you know, who you want to have elected, because I don't really care if Mayor Daley has any integrity. I kind of think it's baked in the cake that they have some flaws. I mean, well, Richie Daley took the bar exam three times and then suddenly miraculously passed it the fourth time. And now apparently Bill Daley, but it was brought up in this Tribune story about the fact that he was taking the insurance exam. He left some of the answers blank. And then somebody else filled out the answers for him, and he said, I didn't cheat. Well, no, somebody cheated for you, I guess. I guess it was the same guy who took the SAT for Derrick Rose. But this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about.
And it sure is. And it is a question of integrity and how you treat the people fairly and how you unite the neighborhoods. I really don't see... when we talk about some of these candidates, the question is, what jobs have they brought to their neighborhoods? what have they done for their neighborhoods? You know, they talk about how the West and South sides have been, there's been disinvestment in those communities. Well, where have their aldermen been? What have they done? I have been calling out the black aldermen for their lack of doing anything for their communities or being jobs in this period of time.
You know, it's so strange during these debates, and I know there was one at a different radio station. They all asked each candidate, if you weren't running, who would you vote for? And the majority of people said Paul Vallis. So I'm going to ask you the question, if you weren't running, who would you vote for of the 13
I don't know.
People?
I really don't know. I've listened to them all. Uh-huh. I listened to how they change their answers depending on the group. And it is a very, very difficult question. I don't see any of these people have the ability to lead this city at this time, both locally on a national level and to bring in global companies that will help bring jobs into our neighborhoods.
All right. So we have a huge pension deficit. We have teachers, we have firefighters, police officers. What is your plan to fill that coffer?
Oh, you know, I look at this phony thing that they're doing already on the state level of kicking the can down the road. We can't do that anymore. There are ways to, you know, again, a ramp up. Right now, our budget, and some of these folks that are running for mayor talk about the bigger budgets, but our budget is for the city of Chicago is $10.2 billion. We are paying $900 million, into the pension fund. The ramp up in the next 4 years, it goes up to an additional $1 billion. We will be paying $2 billion into our pension fund. So where can we make cuts? Yeah. How do we bring new sources of revenue? And of course, you know, we will be in a little bit of a tiff over this commuter tax. But until I find, because we need $400 million next year. And I do, and at this rate, I'm not sure if we're going to have a deficit in our budget by mid-June, that we won't be making the projections on income. And I think that may be a realistic, another issue, a couple a million, when I say a couple, not a few million, but maybe $100 million off in our revenue projections. So we are looking for $400 to $500 million for just to come up to deal with the shortfalls and the pension for next year.
Pensions, schmensions. Let's fiddle while Rome burns. What do you think of the Jussie Smollett situation?
Oh, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, look, anybody that didn't smell a rat there was kidding themselves. You know, Good Morning America should be taken off the air. for that Robin Roberts interview. The Democratic candidates that were running for president and the Speaker of the House that tweeted things out ought to really start looking at, in the mirror on the divisions that they're causing in this country on every time that everything is racial against Donald or versus Donald Trump. And on top of it, I think the Best Supporting Actress award should go to Kim Fox for her withdrawal from this whole situation.
Yeah, what's all right? So, yeah, we learned late yesterday that she's recused herself from this case. Why? I mean, the Sun-Times reported that she could be distantly related to him. What does that mean?
I don't know. You know, it's another ironic twist in this whole thing. And all these politicians want to get close to the stars, play games with them. See, look at what I did. Look who I know. All this nonsense. This is first of all, I really do think the postal authorities have much more in terms of evidence here. And the letter, you know, we could talk about the attack, but I think the letter that was sent 2 weeks before out of a suburban post office 11 miles away from downtown, I think raises additional questions that I think the federal government, not the FBI, but the postal authorities need to look at. And
they're tough. They should be. I mean, people shouldn't poo-poo the postal inspectors, but they will get him on this.
I know they will, and I think it'll be a much more serious charge, and won't be. Let's say, you know, and I want to give everybody a benefit of the doubt on this kind of an situation. But, you know, I said it a few days ago, and I've been bringing up the issue at some of these forums, that we are spending more time on this, our detectives, than any other case. And we got a one-year-old who was shot in the head on life support for the last 3 weeks. And I believe the community knows who did the shooting, but this code of silence that exists in parts of our city on the community because they refuse to come up and say who did the shooting is a cause of most of our problems. We had 3,000 shootings, or almost 3,000 shootings last year, and we don't have people that we don't have enough resources to deal with that situation. With the first 30 minutes of medical care of those shootings cost us about $165 million. $165 million on those shootings, and who's paying for it? The taxpayers of this city and county.
Well, do you think Jussie Smollett should pay restitution? I mean, even when he received that letter that he probably sent to himself or the Nigerian brother spent, you had the hazmat crew responding to you, Chicago police, Chicago fire. That's, I mean, he's wasting.
Yeah,
not to mention the 20 detectives assigned to
him. How do they know that he and his producer should put on plastic gloves as they're opening up the letter? I mean,
because he said that there was something inside of it, which there was. It was crushed Tylenol or crushed aspirin. But he thought it was anthrax.
Yeah, sure.
But he knew it was because he sent
it
to himself.
Why would you even think that?
I know.
A letter.
Well, don't you X-ray all your letters?
Well, because the outside looked, you know, sinister because it said MAGA
on
it.
I had a professor once in my law school that would receive certain things and, you know, because he was somebody from actually foreign countries like that. And, you know, I mean, I think this is going to play out in the next few days. If he's going to be charged, if he, whatever the grand jury may or may not do, if he's even going to go before a grand jury. And I think on the federal level, we're going to see something happen there, too.
Yeah, I hope they throw the book at him.
We can speculate all we want. But, again, it's taking away valuable resources from real crimes in our city. And as I've said before, the shooting of the one-year-old, I mean, the community knows who did it. The mother was a target. Somebody should start coming forward and dealing with those issues.
But it's hard to come forward because
then
you're a target.
No, the mother's been shot before. She knows. Yeah,
but you can't come forward because it's easy to push other people. But then you're a target, too. I mean, they're scared. That's why they're not coming forward.
Bob Fioretti, where can we find out more information about your campaign?
Bob for Chicago, F-O-R, BobForChicago.com, on my website. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and we're pretty active. And I listen to all points of view, and I'm going to make sure I keep listening to the people of this city because they have the solutions, not these 14 people that are running for mayor.
Yeah, and I want to thank you again for coming on because people are scared to come on, like Preck Winkle, Susana Mendoza, Bill Daley, and Joyce.
Well, we are ready for Fioretti, and I can't rhyme anything with Preck Winkle. So,
well, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. And let's all have a great rest of the day.
Great. Thanks, Bob. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
We're always here for you, the listeners. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Ann, who joins us from Chicago. Hello, Ann.
Hello, Amy. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Anna.
I want to make two comments. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
I want to make two comments. Expel Smollett and never let him come back into Chicago. If he comes back in Chicago, charge him with everything. And
you should be the man without a country like Philip Nolan, right? Go ahead. Yes.
Yes. And I feel very offended by how we promote vacations to Mexico. Mexico is so disrespectful of our country. I say we should boycott vacations. Maybe they'll come up with the money for the wall.
Where should Amy and Dan go?
I hear some cats meowing.
The south side of Chicago.
Okay,
it's the baddest part of town.
Okay, thanks, Ann. I'll bring the sunscreen.
Join Amy and Dan in Englewood. The week of April 4th.
Well, speaking of Mexico, oh, yeah. Hey, that's where we're going. Winter's in full swing here. More snow on the way, and it's already snowing. And if you're sick and tired of this stuff like we are, you need to book your trip and join us in warm and sunny Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico.
Hola!
That's where we're heading with Apple Vacations. We're leaving Saturday, April 6th, and coming back Saturday, April 13th, staying at the beautiful Maraval Residences Luxury Resort in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico, just 10 minutes from the Puerto Vallarta Airport. 6 gourmet restaurants. This place is awesome. You've got to go online.
How many golf courses do they have?
It's funny you should ask. There are 9 golf courses nearby.
So you could play like one hole at each one of the golf courses, and that's your front 9.
And watch the Masters, too.
Where the Masters will be at?
You can also snorkel, play tennis, or head to the spa. I'm sure that's what you would do, right? Head to the spa.
No, that's a guilty pleasure. I won't indulge
in. If you go to our website, 560theanswer.com/passport, you could see this place where we're staying. The rooms, well, they're well-appointed. New beds, everything you can imagine. But they're huge. 1,400 square feet. That's what they start at.
Do you bring my pillow
I do bring.
Vacation?
Actually, that's funny that you said that. I bring my go-anywhere my pillow. Because
sure.
Mike Lindell taught me this. You put that go-anywhere my pillow on top of the hotel pillow, and it's just like at home.
Now, on the airlines, is that your emotional pillow that you tell the airlines that you're bringing in? So that
no, I'm not bringing Bunky. Oh. But, of course, I inquired, but they don't allow animals.
Darn it.
And right now, you can enter to win a trip to join us by going to 560theanswer.com/passport. Click on the Enter to Win button. That's 560theanswer.com/passport. Good luck. And also, if you just want to book your trip, go to 560theanswer.com/passport. You're going to love the price point that Apple Vacations has secured for you guys. And every year, this trip gets bigger and better, so do not miss out.
Well said, Amy.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
So is there any process that we have by which we check and don't take their word for it? Is that part of gun control? Maybe we can ask John Lott.
Yes, and
that.
John Lott joins us right now on our turnkey.pro answer line. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of The War on Guns and More Guns, Less Crime. Good morning, Mr. Lott Jr. How are you?
Good morning.
So you are you familiar with the story, what's going on in Aurora?
Oh, yeah, no. And I think Bruce's comments exactly on point. They do have a way of dealing with, you know, finding out even if the guy lies on the form there. And that is they have background checks. They use the federal National Instant Crime Background Check System, the so-called NICS system. And but the problem is, I don't think people are talking about what happened back in 2014. You had Governor Pat Quinn had cut the budget for the part of the state police that did the background checks by over 50%. Oh. He did it as a way of retaliating against gun owners who he felt had given him some political defeats in the state legislature, because he wanted to create a big backlog for people getting their FOID cards.
Oh, wow. This is really a story. That's unbelievable. It's, you know, I remember when we threw George Ryan in jail because, you know, this guy with the mud flaps on his truck got a license somehow. Why
yeah,
not
he
the
paid
where's,
for it illegally.
Where's the story that John Lott is telling us about right now? Why isn't that getting currency? That because Pat Quinn wanted to punish gun owners by creating this backlog, he actually created a void in the system that allowed Gary Martin to cut through it. That's amazing, John. That's just amazing.
Yeah. Right. So basically, you had the state police there kind of cutting some corners. And so exactly what they did, I don't know, but they did 3 background checks on Martin. The first one when he got his FOID card, the second one when he tried to buy a gun, and the third one when he applied for his concealed carry permit. The first two, apparently they didn't do it right. Either they didn't make sure that they had put in the information correctly, or they just skipped putting in the information.
Well, he lied on the FOID card. You don't get a fingerprint for a FOID card, but he lied and said that.
The fingerprint's not relevant.
The fingerprint's what's got him from the concealed carry. That's why
that's not it.
All right, well, then what are you hearing?
Look, the NICS system obviously had his name in there. okay? I know they want to go and claim there's something else that's going on there, but if they had put in his name correctly, it would have gotten a hit on either the either getting the Floyd card or on purchasing the gun. His name was in the system, all right? We know the name was in the system because the third time that they went there, they were able to go and get the hit. And so, you know, whether you put in the fingerprints or not, just simply putting in the person's name accurately or even close to it would have should have gotten a hit.
You know, John, this is amazing. This is amazing. I mean, what you're chronicling right here. And imagine, remember, the liberal dream is, and any one of them who is honest is just going to say, we got to get rid of all the guns. We got to have confiscation. I mean, the Second Amendment is antiquated. It was in, you know, it was written during the musket era. That's what they want to do, and they think that they can wave this magic wand. And yet, here we have this one situation where you've just described all these bureaucratic mistakes, how it all fell through. Can you imagine trying to organize a program to confiscate 300 million guns? Can you imagine what that would cause in the United States? Writ large, what we have here?
Sure. I mean, look at Mexico. Mexico, since 1972, has had only one gun store in the country. The most powerful legal rifle that you can go and buy in Mexico is a 22 caliber short round. And yet Mexico has a homicide rate, murder rate, that's five times higher than what we have here in the United States. You know, the drug gangs aren't having battles with 22 caliber rifles.
No, they're not.
You know, and that's they've had that in place with the government running the one single gun store there. Only about 1% of the Mexican population legally owns guns.
One of our, I know, it's
yeah,
crazy.
But all their guns are coming in from Indiana, right, in Mexico.
No, I mean, they're not coming in from the United States. They're coming in from all around the world.
Yeah, Central
just
America.
Just as they bring in illegal drugs from the rest of the world as a shipping point before they bring them into the United States.
We have a text message from one of our listeners. Thank you, John Lott Jr., for explaining to the morons how background checks work. It was a complete failure by ISP, Illinois State Police. But we have another text message. I wanted to ask you this question. When your FOID card gets revoked, does the sheriff's office or state police officer, are they supposed to go to the person's house and physically take their card and check to see if they have a weapon and hand in their weapon? I mean, they knew we bought a weapon because...
I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. I mean, people are making a big deal about the fact that the law doesn't mandate that the state police or the local police do that, but the police are informed. Obviously, the state police are the ones who are notifying the individual and also notifying the local police there. So it's just a question of whether the police think that they have the time to go and do that as opposed to other things that they're doing for solving crimes. But, yeah, no, that's their obligation at that point to go and do it. But the thing is, he shouldn't have gotten the FOID card to begin with. The name was in the system. He shouldn't, if they didn't have the big budget cuts. The thing you have to understand is not only did Quinn cut the budget in half, but you were having a huge increase in the applications for FOID cards and for gun purchases at that period of time. So they're having this big increase at the same time he's cutting the budget. And you had these long delays. There was huge pressure on the state police to be able to go and in some remote way try to keep up with the volume there. They had a huge backlog, and they cut corners.
Unbelievable. It just shows, I mean, what a perfect illustration of government intentions leading to hell. I mean, that's if Quinn thinks he's punishing lawful, legal gun owners, you know, because he's anti-gun, and he winds up making it possible down the line for this guy to exist. I wonder how Governor Quinn, former Governor Quinn, feels today. Probably nothing.
I wonder if he knows.
Well, I mean, the only way he's going to feel something is if the media goes and makes this a story.
Oh, they won't. It's not part of their agenda. This doesn't work. They're in the tank for the Quinn philosophy of politics.
I mean, these things about the fingerprint and stuff like that, it's just spinning excuses right now.
Well, you set me straight, so thank you.
And, you know, it's just really unseemly that the media is kind of not questioning this and not putting the feet to the fire for the Democrats who are running the system at that time.
At the Henry Pratt warehouse, there's a, you know, no gun sign on the front of the door that everyone keeps mentioning. If you've watched the coverage, you've seen it yourself. Do you think businesses with that many employees, with that many, you know, 29,000 square foot facility, they should hire an armed guard, or at the very least let some employees carry? I mean, especially if you're in the HR department and you're going to be firing someone.
Yeah, look, I think having an armed guard is an incredibly difficult job if you're trying to stop something like this attack, because having somebody in uniform is at a real strategic disadvantage. I mean, you're standing out there like a neon sign. If somebody wants to go and attack, they're going to kill the only person that they think is armed first, because once they kill that person, then they have free rein to go after other people that are there. He's going to be the first target. And so the benefit of having people with concealed carry permits is that the killer loses that strategic advantage. He doesn't know who it is he has to go and take out first. But having a sign like that just indicates to the killer that he, you know, he's going to have free rein, because it obviously didn't stop the killer from going in and taking his gun there. What it did was make sure that there was no law-abiding citizens there who are going to be able to stop. There's a reason why 98% of the mass public shootings since 1950 have taken place in places like this, where general people are banned from being able to go and protect themselves. These killers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid.
They do a cost-benefit analysis. All criminals do. I mean, they're not. They may be insane, but they're not nuts. Thanks so much, Mr. Lott, as usual.
Yeah. And it's always a pleasure having you on our show, and we'll have you back again soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys can put pressure on some of your friends in the media.
They're impervious.
No, I'll tweet it out.
All right, Rafer Weigel, get off the Smollett
beat. All right, John Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of The War on Guns, More Guns, Less Crime. He joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Taking your phone calls, 312-642-5600. Let's go to Tom, who joins us from Oswego. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Bruce and Amy. And I don't mind saying who I am and where I'm from, because if they want to come to my house, fine, let them chance it. I've been a FOID card holder for about 20 years. I applied about 3 months ago for renewal. I was denied because I accidentally answered yes on some question. They wouldn't tell me what it was. It was an accident, but I was denied. I was given 7 days to turn in my FOID card to the local authorities, which I did. I went down there. They said they would hold my guns for me, or I could transfer them. So I transferred them to my son, and I've since appealed. But had I not turned in my FOID card or transferred the guns, I'm not sure what they would have done. They were pretty forceful, though, about what I needed to do, or it would turn into a felony pretty quick.
Well, it's nice that they, you know, sometimes actually enforce the law. It would be nice if they had enforced it in the Aurora situation.
Let's go to Vic, who joins us from the north side. Good morning, Vic.
Good morning. You people did a public service by having John Lott on the air. What a breath of fresh air he is. I'm a lifetime member of the Illinois Rifle Association, and I'm a retired policeman, so I've been carrying a gun a long part of my life, even before I became a cop. But, you know, the Illinois Rifle Association, they had little cards printed up when you enter a place with that sign on the door, no guns, and you went in to do business, to buy something or something, but on the way out, you gave a card to the manager or something and said, oh, by the way, I have a concealed carry permit, and you're just keeping people away there law-abiding, as John Lott said. So I just want to thank you for having him on the air. Now, I want to see what Quinn's response is.
Oh, he's disappeared. He's off the radar. Thanks so much,
Vic. He's not running for an office now? Felt like he's always running.
He's perpetually running, yes.
For an office. Let's quickly go to Jim, who joins us from Naperville. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Amy and Bruce. Bruce, you guys, that was a great interview with John Lott, and I wish that the public was more informed. You know, that was extremely informational. You know, why the news can't carry that kind of content, you know, I just don't understand. And you guys do it every morning.
Oh,
you know,
thanks,
with regard to this Jussie Smollett, by the way, I wish that guy, I don't want to pay for his incarceration. I want him to pay for his incarceration, but that's illegal. So I want him to go into jail for maybe a week just to get the experience, maybe a week or two just to get the experience. And then I want him to serve in public service for 2 years sorting garbage, you know, the sorting recyclables.
Okay.
You know, and to find out to pay, and I want him to pay for everything that he's cost the city and everyone else.
Yep,
wouldn't
that
be great with him on the side of the road in an orange jumpsuit?
Well, he's looking at some serious time. I heard anywhere from 5 to 20 years if he's convicted on this.
No, you know what's going to happen? I told you already. He's going to get time served already just for the anxiety he's gone through, and he has to read The Federalist for a year.
Oh, please. Yes. And again, the reason why Kim Fox recused herself from this case, apparently there could be possibly distant relatives.
Of a witness, she said, not necessarily him.
Right. Somebody in the case
She
is possibly related to. I wonder who that is.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
How would I look walking a dog on the White House lawn?
But I was trying to think who had a cat.
Socks. The Clintons had Socks the cat.
On AM 560.
Well, to be fair, the Clintons also did have a bitch in the White House.
Hey-o.
The Answer.
Yeah. Before we get into the fun, could I offer my endorsement for mayor of the city of Chicago?
You don't even live in Cook County, but okay. Well, you live in Wisconsin, right?
I left my wife's wedding dress at the Drake Hotel on the night we were married. And so, like Rahm Emanuel, I consider myself a
Chicago.
A
no, you're a Chicagoan at
I'm
heart.
Chicagoan.
Hey, but you grew up in Skokie, right?
You
grow up because you went to
Niles Township. East.
Niles East.
The Trojans were a mighty race. So the after reading a Franz Spielman piece in the Sun-Times today, I have decided.
Wait, can we have a drum roll, please?
Yes.
Anybody?
And I would like Nathan Phillips of the American Indian Community.
You didn't wait for the drum roll.
To do the drum roll.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, wait, okay, then I got it.
Thank you. From the land of sky blue water. So,
water.
I am endorsing Bill Daley
for
mayor of the city of Chicago. And notwithstanding the fact that I believe there's a rebuttable presumption that he cheated on the insurance scam.
Why in the world would you,
and I hate
as
the dailies,
a conservative, want another
Daley? Because
I'm
the realist, and I want, and everybody else is in the tank for one or more unions. They've bought off Preckwinkle and everyone else. And I read this Franz Spielman piece in the Sun-Times, which shows, you know, where the union support is going. It is fractured, but they're all, you know, Mendoza and Preckwinkle, they've all got union support. Yeah, but Bill Daley is considered the enemy of the unions. He's for isn't he for amending the Constitution, pension reform? So, as much as I dislike Bill Daley personally, because it's just continuing the aristocratic tradition of the Daleys in Chicago, you have to engage in realpolitik.
Even though he got $15 million kickback for that parking meter deal.
A little graft, doesn't bother me, hundreds of millions of dollars like that, because what is good for the city of Chicago? And, I think, I don't like the fact that he was in the Situation Room with Barack Obama when they caught Osama bin Laden and basically just played the Washington-Chicago shuffle with Rahm Emanuel. I don't like that at all.
It would be in a third term.
But somebody's got to do
me,
something.
It would be a third term for Mayor Emanuel. That's what that is.
Well,
you vote for Daley. But you know what, Bruce? Okay. I'm glad you don't live in Chicago.
Okay.
I'm voting for Paul Vallis. And if there's a runoff with Bob Fioretti and somebody else, I would support Bob Fioretti.
I love Bob Fioretti. He's great, but he doesn't really have a chance.
Well, never say never. There's obviously going to be a runoff. Also in the running to maintain his seat is Alderman Proco Joe Moreno from the First Ward. We're learning this morning that I call him the bad boy of the city council. He's in trouble again. A former employee, Bella Portillo, and she was a social media accountant for Moreno from 2014 to 2016.
She related it all to the Portillo's restaurant?
No, I think her last name is Portillo, but it could be Portillo.
Because I'd have to
sure.
recuse myself if she were, because I eat at Portillo's quite often.
Well, she claims that after the Gay Pride Parade in 2015...
Which one was
Proco
that? I tried to distinguish
Joe,
the Gay Pride
Yeah, because it all runs together.
Yeah.
Proco Joe took everyone to El Jardin Restaurant, the Mexican restaurant. Oh, yeah, in Lakeview. Ah! And he decided to have a little contest, okay? Not a chili cook-off like we have here. Not a who wears the best Hawaiian shirt contest that we have here at AM560. This one was a little dicier. He said, okay, guys, gather around. We're going to have a contest. Everyone's going to take off their shirts. Ladies, you could keep your bras on. And if your body is better than mine, then you will get a raise. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Is there something wrong with that? Isn't,
too sexy for my shirt. I'm going to take off
the person
off
who
my
keeps
shirt.
His or her body in trim physical condition
sexy for my shirt.
Is more likely sexy. To be... A better employee. I think that's rationally related to the job. And I see no harassment whatsoever there.
Well, Portillo says everybody's shirt stayed on during the post-parade staff gathering at El Jardin. And there's people that are supporting her claim. She says Moreno persisted on the topic of his underling's physical attributes. He's just kind of pointing around the table and saying, you're okay, your body's fine. He said, I'm okay, you know, I didn't ask for that, so that was difficult to respond to. I think anyone who was there would agree it was a very uncomfortable situation.
Ooh, garoosh.
Another person who was there that day backed up her account, but that person wanted to remain anonymous to avoid political blowback from Moreno, because he is a little bit of a hothead. Remember what he did to the owner of the Double Door?
Nothing's going to happen in this building. Okay? So you're at, and by the way, when the leases are up there, since they're down zoning, you can't sign new leases for your tenants. So whenever those leases are up and those guys want to leave, and you want to sign a new lease with a new tenant, you're not going to be able to. I'm being upfront with you. I'm being honest with you. It's going to be an empty building with no income for you or your family. End of conversation.
Was somebody wearing a wire for that?
No, he's so stupid that he extorts people while television cameras are nearby. So this guy rented the bill. He rented out part of his building to the Double Door, and the Double Door hadn't paid their rent in X amount of months and owed thousands of dollars because Moreno thought the rent was too high, so he's going to rezone the building to make it something else for political payback for this building owner, who has a right to charge whatever he wants, but he has a right also to get his rent. Kim Fox passed on that. And then we have what happened in January 3rd. He gave his beautiful girlfriend his Audi A6 2006 year car, and then the next day reported it stolen. And then she gets arrested, pinched by six cops, and thrown in jail. So he has, and he tried to talk his way out of this one.
There was just calls that I wanted to have the car back. So I got the car back. She's fine. She's a single mom that I'm trying to help out. And, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
No harm, no foul. Wait, he has a 2006 Audi in the year 2018?
He had one.
In the year 2018, he is a 12-year-old
car? It's 2019. When
is a 12-year-old car?
Right, and he barely drove it around, so he gave it to her. And, you know, he acted like, oh, no, this is, again, it was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, because there's a misunderstanding that she had it for longer than she wanted to, and I was having a hard time getting a hold of her. So that's the only reason that I needed to.
And that, my friends, is a lie. He did not have a hard time getting a hold of her, because between the time that he gave her the car and when she got arrested, they had communicated via text messaging, and police know that he filed a false police report, but they're not doing anything about it because they told me it's low priority. And that is a shame, because that'll just encourage his bad behavior. And anybody in his first ward who votes for him, I mean, they should lose their right to vote.
Well, so what you're
because
saying?
Because he's a big bully. He is just, I mean, he's not a good person. Because he thinks he's above the law.
You're telling me that Jussie Smollett is dying for his sins, the false police report.
His challenger, though, is a little bit of a kerfluffle. Daniel LaSpada. He was, I know I showed you this
which
before.
Which is Spanish for the spada, I believe.
Right? He, for his bachelor party, dressed in a banana costume and his friends in monkey faces, and they chased him around Millennial Park.
In that's, public, he had friends with monkey faces on? Look,
yeah, and that's whatever.
So that's hate
goofy.
Crime in and of itself.
No, but then they took a picture with four African-American boys who were walking down the street.
Which they used as props.
Which made it all worse.
So they were contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Right. Sure. 312-642-5600 is our Turnkey Depro answer line. 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. Let's go to Chuck in Delavan. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck from Delavan, but now it's Chuck from Fort Myers. How are you doing?
From
hey,
Fort Myers.
When a girl gets
nice.
Fort Myers, yeah. When a girl gets to get a car from her boyfriend, that means that she's all in. That's a known fact.
Really?
That's a known fact. It's true love.
Oh, so that means he owns yes. her. It's kind of like an engagement ring, but different, right?
I'll call back next week. I'll be Chuck from Delavan next week. But right now, I'm Chuck from Fort Myers.
Well, got have it, fun. Chuck. Enjoy your vacation.
Have fun at spring training. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I wasn't down here for that. It was just a couple of girls that I met up here. They got condos down there.
Sure, and you promised them a car. I got it. Yeah, thanks, Chuck.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Appreciate it.
Bye,
Chuck. I wanted to hear more about Chuck's also. He's Santa Claus, right?
Didn't yes. And he's got eggs.
He delivers eggs to you. Yes. He delivers eggs.
Sure. I think he once delivered eggs to me and Dan, unless I'm confusing him with another guy from Delavan. Okay.
Let's go to Jim in South Elgin. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I am stumping for Willie Wilson for mayor for a lot of reasons. First of all, for me, the most important reason, he wants to reopen Meigs Airport.
Okay.
The criminal destruction of the airport year by Daley in 2003 is symbolic of what's wrong with Illinois.
I remember
criminal acts not prosecuted, and all the loss of that business and revenue and activity and things like this is one of the reasons why Chicago and Illinois doesn't do well. And he's also not part of this whole machine that we're talking about, as far as you know, the Daleys and Tex Winkle and et cetera, et cetera. You know, and he's done in his own private life before. You know, is very admirable. Plus, he's not one of these Johnny Come Latelys after a Rambo decided he
sure.
wasn't going to run.
And Jim, I'll stipulate to everything that you said. I'll stipulate to all that, but it's not enough.
Do you live in Chicago?
Yeah,
and you're
right.
No, but I have a lot of relatives, and they're all voting for him. Plus, the young Republicans are behind him.
Yeah, Northwest side GOP, they're supporting Willie Wilson. Paul Vallis won the straw poll, though, when they had a debate. And Chicago Republicans are endorsing Paul Vallis. So just
which I think is a mistake. I just think, you know, Wilson is the kind of guy that is going to, you know, bring some leadership and business skills to Chicago, not just typical old machine stuff.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Let's
in my opinion.
You made the case very well for him.
Let's.
Thank you.
This up. Thanks, Jim. Let's see if I can figure this out. Let's go to Patrick, who joins us from Chicago. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yes,
yeah,
we are.
You're on.
Hello.
Watson, are you there?
Hey, so I want to know, I don't know if you guys touched on it yet. How does the city of Chicago yesterday vote to give Sterling Bay $900 million to develop Lincoln Yards that they're saying is an undeveloped part of the city? I mean, it's one of the nicest, most expensive parts of the city, and they're saying it's underdeveloped.
Yes.
Don't we have a couple of bills that we could pay with $1 billion?
But think of what this is going
to
do.
Sterling Bay, so they could make a bigger profit.
In the absence of getting Amazon here, don't you think that that's going to be good for the city of Chicago?
They're not going to put the
stadium.
Yeah,
but at what cost?
Right.
We keep giving all these people all this money away, and we never. It's just like Amazon. They made $12 billion or more than that, $100 billion. And they're paying no federal tax.
I know. It's a highway robbery. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to our friend Verlon from the South Side. Good morning, Verlon. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. How you doing, Bruce? And I want to thank Jim for calling in and speaking up for the best candidate in the race, Willie Wilson, the guy I'm voting for, too. Hey, listen, I just want to give you some hard numbers. Okay, in the last past week of early voting, with the 45,000 early voters, I want you and Bruce to guess how many people have voted.
28,000.
You first, Amy.
28,000.
How many do you think voted, Bruce?
Well, I'll underbid that. 26,700.
111 people voted. So that's how messed up the mayor's race is. 111 people voted. Right. Now, it's going to come down to who has the connections and the push. Preppwinkle has a teacher union and AFSCME. Gary McCarthy has the police union and the fire union. And it's going to be Willie Wilson with the poor people vote. Poor people come in all different colors. And I think who's going to edge out the top may be the sleeper agent. It's going to be Lori Lightfoot now because she has the endorsement of the Sun-Times. So I'm going to tell you, I hope people are being patriotic like me and waiting to voting day to vote. That's how I am. That's the reason why I don't early vote, because I take it seriously. So that's the standings right now, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We'll see who makes it.
Boy, you're a purist, Verlon. I mean, you are allowed to vote early, so you don't actually have to wait. I mean, the next thing you're going to tell me is that only people with property should be allowed to vote.
I think you need to be invested. You need to be invested. I'm with you, Bruce.
All right. Well, let's go to Fran, who joins us from the best place in the world. It's called Pleasantville, Mount Prospect. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, the fact that the Chicago Republican Party is supporting Paul Vallis is all you need to know about the Illinois Republican Party, Chicago Republican
Party. He's a Democrat.
Republican Party, period.
They're all Democrats.
Paul Vallis is a Democrat.
The guy that loves Willie Wilson I agree. If I lived in Chicago, I'd be voting for him.
But you don't live in Chicago.
No, I don't.
Enough said.
But I follow everything.
Yeah, me too.
Because Mount Prospect's a
suburb. Did you ever live in Chicago, Fran?
Oh, yeah.
All right. When did you move out?
A long time ago.
Because it's Mount Prospect.
I bet you I moved out earlier than you did. When did you move out?
All right. Well, you two can have this conversation over lunch.
1958. That's when I moved out. Okay.
You know, I think I beat you by 1 year.
Well, there you go. I knew it.
All right. Everybody from Mount Prospect rules.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.